The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. And there's Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At RJ in Vegas, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. Fun first hour, and RJ Bell filling in for AJ Hoffman today. And we're pretty sportsy in that first hour, I think, but not bad. That went by fast. So,
well, yeah, you're sitting back relaxing.
Yeah, pretty
I
much.
Have a towel. I've got a towel around my head. I got Rocky music playing really softly in the background, keeping motivated.
And I'm sitting here wishing that I had the whiskey that we had here yesterday. I could just sit here and chill.
We got a tweet. And again, it'd be fun if anyone, you know, I always like putting odds on things. One of the things I did, Fred, I'm not sure if you've read my bio all the way through, but USA Today a few years ago commissioned me to put odds on Monopoly pieces, which was going to be eliminated, which was going to be the new one they were voting in. And I love that stuff, right? Because it's like playing poker, but a new game. You have to you use the same concepts, but you got to apply them in a unique way. So if anyone has something, you know, if you want to joke, have some fun. But genuinely, like, what's the odds of, you know, the Raiders not coming to Vegas or whatever? It'd be just my opinion, but, you know, I'm okay at that. Tweet me at RJ in Vegas, and maybe at the end of the show we'll do a couple of those. That
yeah,
sounds fun.
Yeah, Brett. And you can also text the show, as always, and I'll pass them on to RJ, and we'll do a segment on that where you can just ask RJ whatever you want. And
So here's a topic, if you don't mind, I want to get your opinion.
Go right ahead.
I am so upset at this Coke Zero announcement. Have you heard this?
I have not.
Okay. I love Coke Zero, like with a true passion. If you had to say the things that are not human that I love, it's in the top five, Coke Zero, because it tastes as good as regular Coke, but there's zero calories, and it doesn't have all that aspartame or whatever. So it's, you know, obviously, you know, soda's not great for you anyway, but it's supposedly better than Diet Coke, right?
Right.
So it's like the greatest thing they've ever done, and today there's a big announcement. It's going to be like the classic Coke and the new Coke debacle. They're going to completely redo the formula and put out a new version. Now, in theory, it could be better, but when you have something that's better than anything you've ever done, why is that what you're going to go and change? And I'm telling you, on Twitter, it was trending, and I was looking through. It's like 90% of people are like, this is the worst news I've ever heard.
Why would you do that? Well, it's Coke. The whole Coke Classic thing I remember as a kid was just ridiculous, and the whole thing was just so they could change back and create a buzz.
Do you believe, has that been confirmed?
No, I believe
that sounds like Stanley Kubrick shot the moon landing.
No, but I've
heard that.
I believe that. I do, because it was a very shrewd marketing move, because it was either a shrewd marketing move or they totally lucked into one.
But think about it. If you want to change your internet page, what's the URL on that, Fred?
Oh, HoustonSportsAndStuff.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want to change that, if you want to change the homepage to some ugly color of, you know, purple and change it back, it's going to cost you like $120 in tech time. But they had, you know, thousands of bottling plants. And, I mean, that had to be like a $1 billion change back. I can't fathom they'd do that as a marketing play.
Well, but it paid off, though. The response was so, as I recall, and I was young, and now I'm old and I drink a lot, but as I recall, the response was so ridiculous it became an international story that they had to switch back, and then the sales went through the roof when they switched back because people were so excited to have it back. And as I recall, the new Coke tasted just like Pepsi, which I thought was not good to begin with.
Well, which at the time was the, and to wrap this topic, but not to go too deep into the Cola Wars, but at the time it was, you know, Pepsi was the new generation. They were getting the young folk, and Coke's thinking, wait a minute, eventually those young folk are going to be middle age, and then they're going to have the young in them. So I think there was some truth to going for the younger market.
Well, I'm guessing this will turn out the same. They'll switch back. You watch. It worked for them once before. They're doing it again. When was the last time we actually talked about Coke?
That's a good point. It's a good point. Exactly. Maybe it's just my last addiction, right? In college, you know, I had some fun, but my last addiction is Coke Zero.
Well, he said maybe it'll be better, but I'm guessing it won't be, and then it'll be back in 6 months, and you'll be happy, and, well, you should be mad at them knowing what they're doing. But
except I'm going to be telling the world for the next 6 months how mad I am.
All right. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show, and feel free to send us your questions. But I have to say, I know you're a big movie guy, and I'm just curious, how much are you into these TV shows now? Because I think TV is actually being a lot more creative, and they're able to do a lot more things because you can create a short series that's 10 hours long as opposed to a 3-hour movie. But are you getting into a lot of these TV shows as much as you are movies these days?
I'm going to surprise you with this. I believe the idea that the TV shows are better is absolutely true. So that's not surprising at all. I mean, if you go back and watch, and we all got our nostalgia for when we were between, you know, 8 and 18, right? So everyone, that's a different time. My mom loved Leave It to Beaver. And, you know, she was, I guess, you know, 21 in 1970. So it was, you know, she grew up with it. And I watch that show and I think, oh, my, this is horrible. Like, I could write on the back of a napkin. I get that if you fall in love with the Beave, you're going to like, you know, Leave It to Beaver. But even if you go back to the Jeffersons, and again, I think there's some funny moments in those shows for sure. Now, I think there's exceptions, right? All in the Family, I think, was a great show. Mary Tyler Moore. And, you know, even back to Dick Van Dyke was a great show. You think of Star Trek, right? How revolutionary was that? That only made it 3 years, though, right? Between 67 and 70. But for the most part, bad. Today, if a show gets any attention, especially, you know, I don't think I watch any network shows. The last one I watched was Hannibal. And to me, one of the greatest shows of all time. Very few people have seen it because it felt kind of chitzy, like, oh, another Hannibal Lecter. But it went 3 seasons. And if you like Hannibal Lecter at all, or if you like good TV, Hannibal, I'm telling you, great. But NBC did it. It was unbelievable, right? And Friday Night Lights before that. But for the most part, it's all HBO, AMC, and obviously now on demand with Netflix and Amazon. I think there's 10, 20 times as many good shows. I'm not sure there's a great show on television right now. So let me give you my list. And I wrote a long article about this for a local Vegas weekly. Is to me, now I'm going to have people who disagree with this. They're going to gasp at the first one, I think, but that's fine. My favorite show of all time, or what I consider to be the best show of all time, which is a slightly different question, is Deadwood. Now, have you seen Deadwood?
Oh, God, yes. And I would, that is in my all-time top five, no question. And that, yeah. And I'm really excited that they may actually do a movie to kind of wrap it up like they did with Firefly.
Oh, they've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah.
So David Milch, who found NYPD Blue, he was the, you know, Steve Bochco had his name first, but Milch was the guy, a true genius. And he was he's been a heroin addict a big chunk of his life. He lost like $70 million betting on horses, and now he's actually on an allowance. If you've ever doubted that intelligence and worldly common sense don't always go together, imagine a guy went to Harvard, became, you know, maybe the greatest TV producer of all time, in my opinion. And the idea, and he also did Luck, that horse show on HBO, which only went to 1 year.
Yeah, I like that show too. But
oh yeah, that was good. But and NYPD Blue at the time was probably the best show ever. I think as of the, let's say, fifth season, I would say that was the best show of all time up to that point. So I loved NYPD Blue. So, but he ended up, you know, heroin addict. Then he lost so much money betting horses that he now has to get like $200 a week in spending money like a teenager or whatever. So, but Deadwood, amazing. Okay. Number two, Sopranos. Again, the more distance there is from The Sopranos, the better I think that show is. I just think Deadwood is so good. Number three, and a lot of people think this is number one. The typical kind of bloggers of the world will put The Wire number one. I think The Wire's right there, but I got them three. All right?
Okay.
Now, four is, in my opinion, I love this show, Mad Men. And the more time passes on, the better I think Mad Men is.
See, okay, that's the first one I'm going to disagree with you on, because I thought the first three seasons of that were fantastic. And they got where they were so awful at times with some of the episodes where they just do an entire episode to set up one joke at the end. I thought they got full of themselves with all the awards they won and how good they were. And I thought the last 2 years of that were as bad a television as I've seen. So that's the first one I'm going to disagree with you on.
And I tell you, and I'll be honest with you, Fred, and I'm going to say this to your face instead of behind your back. I hope you appreciate it. Is you are the prototypical, in my opinion, and if you disagree, I really want to hear it, of this hyper smart, and I genuinely think you are hyper smart, but also you're a bro. You're a man's man. And it's like too much art, no matter how good it is, you just reject it. And it's like you love The Godfather because there was just enough killing in it. But the same people said the same thing about The Sopranos. To me, the brilliance, and I bet most of the listeners agree with you, is the brilliance of the dream episodes when he was shot. And I talked to friends who were really smart, but bros, and they're like, oh, man, that's too much like a French movie. They didn't even know to say French movie, but that's really what you're saying. Let me ask you, what is the artiest arty thing? And I'm not talking about your wife collecting art. I'm talking about you. What is the artiest arty thing that you love? Not like, not can stand, love.
Well, that's hard because I don't know what you consider artiest arty thing. I mean,
do you love Picasso? Do you fly around the world to see Picasso?
No.
Do you love French movies? Is Godard one of your favorite filmmakers? You know what it is. Do you read Dostoevsky at night?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
I've read, yes.
Yeah, no, you've read it, but are you a passionate, because you're a really smart guy, but are you passionate about Russian, 19th century Russian literature?
Well, no, but I studied that for so many years, so it's different.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is you've got passion. You want to watch how many hours a week do you spend watching the Astros?
Pretty much every game these days. So
So you've spent 0 minutes reading Russian literature in the last week, but you've spent, 15 hours watching Astros games.
It's kind of my job, though.
You're a bro, though. Let's just say it. So Mad Men got to – people are just saying, boy, Fred's getting crushed right now. Mad Men was just too arty for you. So don't –
you cannot like it. That is the typal highbrow versus lowbrow argument that you snooty people do whenever your show starts to suck, and that's what you say is, oh, it's too artsy for you. No, it was crap. The writing was crap, okay? As a writer, I hated the way that show was written. It had nothing to do – had nothing to do with that, but that's all right. We'll take a quick break and get the rest of them when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. R.J. Bell filling in today. Follow him on Twitter, at R.J. in Vegas. And if you got questions about anything, hit him up. You can hit us up on the text line as well. All right, I want you to recap your group, because you were four deep in your top five, correct?
I was thinking about this, Fred, though. You've got all the advantage when we debate. You bring it in, you take it out. So you get the whole time to think about comebacks. I was worried you were going to come up with something good, and luckily not. But I think it's a disadvantage. I mean, I've hosted my own ESPN show for 4 years here in Vegas. So I could bring it in too. So if we're arguing, I think we got to flip a coin who takes it out and brings it in.
Well, I mean, when we do the podcast,
home court advantage.
It's like blackjack. I'm the dealer, you're the player. That's how it works.
So here's my point. We talked about the top four, Deadwood. A lot of people like that show, but it's not as well known. Number two, Sopranos, three, Wire, four, and we disagreed on this one with Mad Men. And, you know, I used to have Breaking Bad five. I've actually been rewatching that show, and it just does not. There's great scenes, but I'm thinking of moving that one. But let's forget that for a minute. My point is there's all these B-plus shows out there. I can't find a show that I could even debate that would supplant The Wire or supplant Sopranos or Deadwood. And think about it. All of those shows were made between, 2000 and 2008? At least they were running a big chunk of the time in there. So it's like, I think what happened was we went from TV being mostly crap to HBO really figuring out, hey, we can do, and really the show that started it was Larry Sanders, right? If you're you don't know Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders is one of the greatest shows of all time.
My favorite scene in that entire series was he's in bed with his secretary and she's taking notes about why they can never do this again. That was just so classic. I don't know why that popped into my head other than she was hyper hot and I had a thing for her, but yeah.
Beverly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this was on, this is on HBO On The Go now. Oh, they're on demand. There was a long time there was rights dispute, so you couldn't get Larry Sanders. Now it's back up. So if you like high IQ comedy, great show. But my point is Sopranos got the first crack and, you know, Oz, people talk about Oz and all that. And I think that is an underrated show for how influential it was. But really, you got the geniuses of the geniuses that's been waiting around. David Milch, let's give him a show. Let's give, the Sopranos, I'm having a mental block, a show right now, and the creator. And the fact of the matter is, those geniuses aren't making TV anymore. And now it's like, yeah, I get there could be a next generation of geniuses, but where are they? So let me ask you, what are the shows that we could even debate are better than, you know, my top three?
Well, first off, who is your fifth if it's not Breaking Bad?
I would say maybe it's Hannibal. I love that show, as we talked about. Maybe it's Larry Sanders. It might even be NYPD Blue. I mean, I think Sipowicz is one of the greatest is maybe the greatest character in the history of television, with Tony Soprano maybe right there. That's an interesting question for you. Greatest character in television.
Currently or all time?
All time.
Oh, because that's a hard one there. I would be, one of the shows you didn't have on your list, and same guy who did Deadwood, Timothy Oliphant in Justified, I think was one of the most amazing characters I've seen on television. And that show was fantastic, and it ended before it got bad. I don't know if you were a Justified guy, but that was a very underrated show. One of the best written shows out there. Elmore Leonard wrote it. So here's some insight. If you want to know what kind of writing that I prefer and the kind of writing that I do, Elmore Leonard's probably one of my biggest influences, he and Douglas Adams. And I love the way that he gets to the point and the snappy dialogue. And that whole show was that the whole time. And it was just fantastic. So
think about what we got, guy. We got a talk radio host who's a bro, we've come to that conclusion, who writes books on horse racing, writes fiction books, used to write for the Chronicle. Lucky, you know, Houston's lucky, Fred. I'll say it.
Don't tell them that. They're not going to agree with you. But
the ratings agree. But what's the best show? Listen, if this wasn't the highest rated show, I'd be on another show.
Our ratings have been down thanks to our signal being down for the past 2 months. We finally got that squared away, but oh well.
Well, that's inevitable. Yeah. I mean, if your signal's down, come on. But so what's the best show on TV right now? Active show.
Well, I mean, I love Game of Thrones, but I don't know how it's going to end. And I'm a fantasy nerd anyway, and I've read all the books. So that's my favorite, but I'll give you a couple others that are, I don't know if they're even still going. I think Luther has ended on BBC. If you haven't seen that, that's one of the more brilliant shows. The first couple shows, you'll have problems understanding what he's saying because his accent's so thick, but once you kind of adjust to that, that show is brilliant. I know Jong's on that one too, and Sherlock also on BBC with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. is as brilliant a show as I've seen. So those two, I would, depending on how they end, because so much of that, like, I thought Breaking Bad ended well, but there were a couple times in that series where if I hadn't binged it, I would not have watched the whole thing. Because if I had been waiting week to week, there were just a few shows where I'm just like, really, this is just getting silly. But I
agree. In a way, I think that was the ambition of the show, was we're not going to overdo the killing. But then what ended, you know, and high drama, right? The idea that in real life, getting a guy into a plastic bin and pouring acid in it might take the, you know, 40 minutes, and it's going to show you the you know, with the bathtub early on, and they forgot that, or at least Jesse forgot that this acid would eat through porcelain but not plastic. It really humanized or even made it more realistic, which I thought was fascinating. But if you make something intentionally boring, you better find a way to make it somehow entertaining on top of that. And I think there's a lot of super arty movies that people love. The real critics that I don't enjoy, because I'm like, hey, I'm open to being challenged, but you better entertain me some. And I do agree with you. I think Breaking Bad, as much as it's dropping on my list, the last half season from when him and Hank went at it might be the best 6 or 7 episode run of any TV show ever. So but I think a lot of the other episodes are not top 10 type level shows, or a show that would be top 10. But my last question to you before we change topics is Sherlock, or whatever other shows Luther, you would debate that maybe Sherlock's better than The Sopranos?
I think it's in the conversation, yes.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, it's a very different kind of show because they only do 3 episodes a year and they're each an hour and a half long. So they're almost miniseries. Well, And that's kind of the BBC model. But if they're done with Sherlock, which I'm not sure they are, the way it's ended, I think that one's in the conversation, because it was just fantastically done. The acting, the writing in it is brilliant, and it's I just fell in love with that show. And the season ender of season 2 might be the best single hour and a half of television I've ever seen.
Well, I tell you, maybe you're not quite the bro, because there's not a lot of bros watching Sherlock. I'm going to make a prediction there. Last thing I'll say, just for the fun of it, because this is a good show, but far from a great show. But I think Billions is so good to me. And, you know, I love the hedge funds and all that kind of thing. But the idea is, when I am like 8 episodes into the 13 episode season, let's say, I start getting depressed that like we're halfway through the season. I'm so into that show. Or like, you know, you love a show when you're watching it live and it's going to go for an hour and you look and it's like 38 minutes in. You're like, oh, man, it's almost over. I think Billions is that entertaining.
Well, you know what? I gave that show a try because a lot of people told me how good it was. And I got to about episode 9, and I thought the acting was fantastic, but I was just really bored with the writing and just kind of ejected. So I thought it was
Sherlock
good.
Sherlock thumbs up, Billions thumbs down.
Yeah, maybe if I go back and give it another try. But the last couple episodes I watched, and it was right after he had bought the building from the family and all. It's just they just lost me. I totally lost interest in the show. So
a lot of people actually thought this, like, the problems some people had with the first year, they said they thought was corrected the second year. So I would give it a try.
All right, quick break. A lot more to go. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. RJ Bell joining us. And I just wanted a quick follow-up to the last segment. But another show that I think wound up, because it ended when it did, that I absolutely love and I thought was underrated, was Firefly. And they kind of closed that out with a movie that ended the story very well because of a bunch of licensing rights and things. But that one If it had gone on longer, I probably would have lost interest. But I loved that show and the way it ended. And that's what I hope happens with Deadwood, who getting back to circling back to that. I hope they make a movie that kind of wraps up the story.
Oh, for sure. Correct me, though. Firefly was just one season, right?
It was 14 episodes is what it was.
Yeah.
So it was, and then a movie on the end of it. But
it really goes to show you when you're disconnected from the lowest common denominator is when some of your favorite shows are one season shows. Like you would think, you know, like if you like teen dramas, and when I was younger, I loved teen dramas. My So-Called Life, Claire Danes did a show that only went like 18 episodes and it was on ABC, and some would put it in their top five of all time. I mean, this was an amazing show. So if you like anything like that, check it out. But then Freaks and Geeks, which have really gotten a second following now that, you know, they rerun it on one of those Sundance channels or something. But, you know, that show went one season. So to really think about these one season shows, and there's more than a few of them that are amongst the 15 or 20, in my opinion, best shows of all time. It shows you commerce and art oftentimes don't mix well.
Well, and I actually love the way the direction they're going with television, because I do think movies in general have been, I mean, that you're doing so many remakes and things like that. But then again, you had a couple of years ago where you had The Big Short and you had Spotlight that I thought were just as good of movies that have been made in the last 15 years. And I know you're into movies a lot. What is your take on it? Do you really think that that quality-wise, that movies are not where they should be right now, or do you think we're seeing some brilliant stuff?
Best I can do is regurgitate. I read a lot of movie criticism and a lot about the industry because I love movies. And I really think, you think about it, we talked about high art and low art. And it strikes me, a play is high art, supposedly, right? Oh, I saw, you know, the original Death of a Salesman production on Broadway. Great. I wish I could have seen it too. I Brando playing on Streetcar Named Desire. But it's like it's one view, because wherever you are in the stands, in the seats, you got one view. And it's acting, right, which is awesome. But you think about a movie, you've got that same acting. You've got the camera as a character that can move. You have the ability for music to play a role. It's just such a – no art – as great as Van Gogh is, and, you know, it's funny because it sounds cliched, right? Oh, Picasso, Van Gogh. And I'm no art critic when it comes to painting, but I have always appreciated it. And if I go, you know, to Chicago or museum and I stand in front of a Van Gogh, it does really feel like, wow, this is true art. I feel it. But the idea of a still single picture versus – you know, all the things a great movie can bring. And I'll give an example because I think this is the best movie of the century, you know, 2000 onward. And I think a lot of people will agree with me. There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. That is art. That is like there's no TV show, Sopranos or not, that comes close to that. But it was like a 4-year effort with, you know, 9 or 2 hours. Right. Sopranos, 13 hours a year. So how do you, you know, how do you compete? So I think at the best movies are always going to be better than the best TV shows. But I also think TV shows can tell a long-form story, right? Something like The Wire could never have been that good as a movie. You want to talk about setting things up. I mean, the third season, most people's favorite, where they had Hamsterdam and Bunny was trying to legalize drugs. And the whole time in the precinct, they'd be throwing beers just up and up and up, empty beer cans. And then finally, the last episode, the camera panned up and you saw hundreds and hundreds of beer cans. And in that moment, it conveyed to you that it wasn't only these police officers, but they were generations of police officers fighting the same fights, good and bad. And The Wire did a great job of showing the good and the bad of both the criminals and the law enforcement and the politicians. But you can never build up over the course of 10 hours in a movie. So on one hand, I think as visual art, and that's why I think movies are more visual, nothing compares on TV to a movie. When it comes to storytelling, I think TV does better. And when it comes to movies today, I think the biggest blockbusters are have so much of a marketing budget, they can't ever take a chance. Now, I didn't love Moonlight, but Moonlight was made for a modest amount of money. It won the Oscar last year, so it was obviously a good movie. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it was made. No one had any idea if 30 people would have seen it or somehow it could win the Oscar, literally. And the fact that it did, I love that the technology is so advanced now, Fred, that you can make a movie for $50,000 or $70,000 if you have a passion for it. And there's a chance, like Moonlight, that it would win the Oscar. So I think that at the high level, movies are as bad as they've ever been. But I think at the low budget level, I think they're maybe as good as they've ever been. And that all the nostalgia for the past, I think if you know the movies to look for, they're as good as ever.
RJ Bell is filling in today for AJ Hoffman, and you know, I don't know if this is a good transition, but aren't you going to be on an episode of Ballers this season while they're out in Vegas? Didn't you tell me that?
You know that, Fred. Come on now, don't give the. You know that I text you every day and say I'm on Ball. No, not high art. I think the producers would admit that, but I love, you know, to me, I loved Entourage, right? I mean, same Stephen Levinson was this the. Guy who created Entourage. And to me, that's probably the show I've watched. I've probably watched every episode of Entourage like 9 times because it's so fun to just have on in the background. And every time drama's on, you know, to me, for the guys out there, anyone who's listening that says, you know, I think RJ, I could be a buddy of his and I think he'd like me. If you think that, then I'm going to give you a tip. If you think, oh, this RJ, I don't like him at all, well, I'm not sure why you're listening. But if you kind of like me, here's a good tip. If you have a girl you're thinking of marrying, see if she likes drama on Entourage. Because they're going to look and it's, you know, sexist and exploiting women, all that. But drama is so funny. If there's a girl you're going to be able to deal with long term, and I've been married now 9 years, so I've got a little bit of expertise. They got to love drama because he is such a brilliant character. I was actually had the pleasure of talking with Jerry Ferrara, who I always call him Turtle, but not to his face, so I guess that's easier. But I had a chance to talk to him at the Ballers Rap Party, and we talked like for 20 minutes, and he was such a genuine dude. But the thing that struck me was he was talking about how great drama was. Like, you would think he would feel competitive, right? Because him and Turtle had all the most of the scenes together. He was like, that's one of the greatest characters in the history of TV. So you know if your co-star is saying how great the character is. I thought drama was just unbelievable. And any girl who doesn't like drama, be careful. That's what I'll say. But it ended up that Levinson was a fan of our Dream podcast. And it was so funny because he said, you know, once I met him, he said, RJ, he goes, I don't bet sports. And I'm like, really? He goes, but I love to hear the way Vegas thinks about life. And, you know, I think our segment on this show, Fred, shows that people love the Vegas perspective because not everyone listening is betting, right, every week, for sure. And, you know, so he asked if, you know, I would be on and plan a cameo as myself, and it was like it'd be an honor, right? So it was a 12-hour shoot. I'm in 2 scenes this Sunday, so it's this Sunday, and it's at the craps table. It's a Vegas episode, and it's fun. It had a few lines in there, and here's the one great thing I'll say. Not only was everyone so nice, but they were open to advice. They sent me the script. Great stuff, right? Obviously, they're professionals, and I said, guys, there's like 3 or 4 things that just don't make sense with the betting, with the, you know, anyone that knows about anything, you watch it on TV, you know, doctors and nurses will always say ER saying something wrong. And sometimes they just have to, right? But if you can get it right, why not? So much credit. They let me give feedback on what was not correct. They changed it immediately. And I'm actually pretty proud that at least when it comes to the way that the casino games are played and we're playing craps in this case, it's legitimately correct. And I give them a lot of credit. And it was a really fun time.
All right. So we'll be watching for that Sunday night. We're going to take a very quick break. Man, this is flying by. RJ Bell, it's the Blitz. We'll be right back.
Of the future, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
we're back on the Blitz. Giveaway time. You can win two tickets to participate in the second annual Splash Bash this Saturday, July 29th at the Oaks Dads Club Candlelight Sports Complex. Cool off from the heat and take advantage of complimentary adult beverages and food for all guests, plus giveaways and swag from awesome vendors, including us, ESPN 97.5. Play slip and slide kickball, slip and slide human bowling, or don't get wet and play other great games like Giant Jenga or Giant Connect 4 and so many more. A portion of all the tickets goes directly to the Oaks Dads Club, a local nonprofit youth sports organization. Get your tickets to get in on a day of fun and food at HoustonSSC.com. How about caller 20 at 713-780-3776? You get two tickets. All right. We are back with RJ Bell. Pretty good response from the people so far.
Pretty good. Who's got a problem?
No,
what's her name?
It's a real good response. I was underselling it just a little bit. So,
well, there's no upside to that.
But you were talking about
speaking of that, I think we agreed in between segments we're going to switch roles for this segment, and I get to ask you some questions.
Fire away.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Obviously, I share how much I think you and AJ do such a good show. And I think one of the reasons, and I think this is almost universal, if someone cares to listen on a regular basis, it's one thing to flick the radio on, and hey, those listeners count too. But the core of an audience is going to be, hey, Fred and AJ's on, or at minimum, I'm driving home at this time, and you know, I'm staying here. Maybe on the commercial, I'm jumping over, you know, who knows, but I'm coming back because I don't want to miss it. And also, it's the Howard Stern test, because for the first time ever, when I started listening to Howard back in 97, so I was a little late to the party, but I was in Ohio, so I would be sitting in the driveway, and I couldn't get out of the car because I wanted to hear the end of the segment, right? And I think you guys probably have more of that than most when it comes to talk radio, sports talk. And I think why is this reason? The audience feels like you tell the truth. And not every truth. No one tells every truth to anybody, right? We all know that. But you guys are generally going to share the truth. And most shows, you don't feel that, right? You feel like there's some other truth behind it all. And with you guys, it doesn't feel like that. And kudos for that. So I'm going to ask you a candid question. You are, I think, very open-minded towards technology. I think you are watching the trend lines, and you realize radio, over-the-air broadcast radio, is being challenged by digital. And I think you guys are doing such a good job. I think Gao in general, you know, talking to people at Gao for business stuff is, I mean, they are so cognizant of that reality. How are you thinking about the next 5 years? Do you think that in 5 years you can be doing a show, an old school show like this, and it be competitive with the podcast? Do you see, and what exactly are you trying to do different than a typical old school show that's going to keep you competitive where maybe other shows are not going
to
be?
Well, I think that kind of gets back to something you said earlier in the show, is that we're more like a podcast than a traditional radio show, and I think that's always going to be the case. Now, one of the things that we do here, and that's why we just bought a leisure website and we're going to launch a sports site off of it, is looking for other ways to create content so that they all kind of marry together and that we can monetize all of them. But as far as doing the show, I think realistically, three to 5 years in this format alone would be about all it could take. But we're not going to just be that. I mean, that's why we have Podcast Arena, and that's why so much of what we do, so many of our segments, I think, are podcastable because we try to look forward that way. So, I mean, I don't think of this as a radio show. I think of it as one of the ways we're creating content.
And I think that's a good point. Like, what's the difference? You know, we're talking, we should have actually a pretty big announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks, but we're talking to a handful of the major podcasting first companies, digital first. And I think one thing I learned from them is that there is a difference between repurposing a show, a typical radio show, right? So let's say Colin Cowherd, right? A guy I've done a lot with, used to be with ESPN. This is a guy that, you know, I think most agree, very good at typical radio. You can repackage his show into a podcast, the best of or the full show. It's still not a pure podcast because it's a radio show that is going to be on demand later. Where a Joe Rogan or an Adam Carolla, you're going to have more of a long 3-hour conversation about, you know, this subject or that subject. You guys, it feels like not only, I think most radio stations feel like that if we just take our existing content and repurpose it in a different format, now we're digital. But you guys get, you and AJ and the team at the station and John get that, no, it's a different kind of content. Can you, obviously, at most stations, you would have gotten battled on that. Can you help us? You know, I'd like to hear, and I think the audience would, how that evolution was. Because I'm guessing 5 years ago, you were more like a regular radio show.
No, I think we've always tried to be, and part of it was when we started, and it was Matt Dean, the poker player, was my original host. We were coming right after Colin's show, and we were right before, I think it was Tirico at the time. And I was there all morning.
What year was this?
Oh, God, we're going back. What's it been, John? 9 years now?
About eight years, maybe.
Yeah, because I left the Chronicle in 2007, so that was, yeah. But I started radio 9 years ago.
I've been here for 9 years, so yeah. I think I was maybe 6 months in. So it went early 2009.
Yeah, that's about when it was. And we just decided that, okay, they're getting nothing but sports. We're going to try to mix it up a little bit and just be ourselves and not be hot take guys. And if we don't believe something, you know, don't create a, oh, LeBron is better than Michael Jordan argument just to get people riled up. And
are you giving a shot to Colin right now?
I'm not giving a shot to anybody. I'm just saying.
Well, listen, I give a shot to him personally, too, on that one.
but we didn't want to be Skip Bayless or anything like that and still do sports. But that way, when we do have a strong take about something, it's kind of gets back to what you were talking about, believability. We're not going to create something just to do it. Now, sometimes we'll tweak each other. If I know something's going to get AJ riled up, you know, like telling him Nolan Ryan used steroids, I'll tweak him with that. but for the most part, it was always just be honest. And we were lucky that people responded to it early. And then when AJ got here, it was the same thing. And so the show's evolved, but we're not that much different than what we were when we were doing noon to two. It's basically, we get here and, you know, I always tell people, we just try to have fun and hope people are enjoying it. And, you know, over time, it's, you know, we've aged and we've gotten different, but, you know, we've always tried to be honest with people and tell them the bad things. And, you know, and when things go wrong in our lives, tell them about it, because not everything goes perfectly. And I think that's, you know, that's worked for us, and, you know, hopefully it'll continue to work for us. But I also think that's closer to what I hear on podcasts. And
you know what's funny is that wasn't a great answer, and that's the point. Like, it wasn't thought out. It's just you said it. You're being – like, if we were in a, you know, South by Southwest, and it's like, all right, Fred, let's talk about digital media, you know, that wasn't a great answer, right? But you're pretty much saying the greatest answer of all is it's just natural. We're doing what feels entertaining and right to us, and luckily you have a station that's allowing for that. Because most stations are going to try to fit you in a little box. They're going to say, Mike and Mike's doing this, and Levitard's doing that, and you better, you know, that's what pros do, so you better try to emulate it. The fact that you guys have been allowed to be yourselves and it just be natural, and the fact it's tending towards digital, or at least being repurposed as such at minimum, is a great thing. Like, you're a man of your time, right? Dave Letterman in 1968 probably would have been out of show business because him trying to be sardonic and kind of poke fun at the, you know, head office and GE and all the stuff he used to do in the 80s, that wouldn't have flown 15 years before, but it did then. And you guys, I think, are just around at the right time where your natural way is the way things are going.
Well, I certainly hope so, because I'd like to be employed for a few more years. But and I've said this on the show before, I hope to be in a position in 3 years that if I don't want to do this anymore, I won't have to. Now, I'm going to, as long as I can, probably. But I hope to be in that position, and I'm getting close. And you know, at that point, I'm going to be 55 years old. It may be time to just retire and enjoy life. And
you sound like Stern now. I listen to clips on YouTube. It's like 1993, and he's talking about this is his last contract. Listen, I got a feeling, guys, you're going to be having to wheel him out, I'm guessing.
Probably, but there is, and we've talked about the novel on the air before, but if this thing takes off the way that the folks associated with think it's going to, then that may have to be what I spend the second, well, this, most of the second half of my life doing is writing novels. And that appeals to me as well. I have this, if I'm not doing this, the other thing I'd want to do in life is live in Colorado, smoke weed, and write novels. That's it.
There you go.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. That's 2 hours in the books, and that just flew by. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. None of these toys on lease to ya. Made your whole year in a week to ya. Main, out of your league to ya. Side, out of your league to ya. Hustle when they need a centipede.
ESPN 97.5.